This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Congressman Kevin Brady, member of the House Ways and Means Committee and the top House Republican on the Joint Economic Committee of Congress. We want to get his thoughts on a report coming out on Thursday that the gross domestic product in this country reversed course and is actually up 3.5% according to preliminary figures for the third quarter of 2009. A little bit later in this conversation, we want to get his thoughts also on the House version of health care reform legislation unveiled by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi earlier in the day. And Congressman, it's always great to have you with us.
Greg, thanks for having me.
Well, it looks that the numbers are better. The first quarter was pretty dismal. The second quarter was barely negative, and now we're at about 3.5 on the plus side, at least according to the preliminary numbers. Reason for celebration, relief? Oh, how do you react to this?
You know, I think it's cautionary good news. I mean, clearly after a year of contraction in the economy, a quarter is good. Growth is good. But there's a couple things beyond the numbers we have to be aware of. Most of the growth from the last quarter was driven by one-time events, cash for clunkers and businesses drawing down the rest of their inventory. Those aren't going to occur again, so that's not a good foundation to build the economy going forward. You know, I agree with economists that the economy has hit the bottom. The question is, looking ahead, are we going to bounce along the bottom for a while, or are we going to start recovering? All that depends on whether this is a government-driven recovery or a business-driven recovery. If it's government, it's not going to last. If it is driven by the marketplace and business decisions, then we have a chance of improving, I think, rather dramatically.
Plenty of different analysis on this. One that I read, I believe, on Bloomberg was that basically this was driven by consumer spending, which you mentioned could be linked to cash for clunkers and maybe the home buyer's tax credit to some extent, and also by government spending. So how do we break it down and determine what's really driving things and what's going to be necessary to keep it going?
Well, you are right on target. Most of the spending, the personal consumption, came from those auto purchases. In fact, what I always look at is how much money do people have to spend, their disposable income. That was down more than 3%, which tells you that the demand from consumers isn't happening. So that's not going to, at least yet, drive us out of this recession. The good news, I always look for what in there was good news, in housing. Investment in housing increased by 23%, first increase 3.5 years. I think that's important. But again, I think one of the big problems is that a lot of businesses are holding off making key decisions because they're watching what Washington will do on health care and those increases in costs, cap and trade, what it might do to drive up energy, a lot of tax increases up here on income, investment, all sorts of things. Then finally, the debt is in deficit is so large, they worry, you know, who's going to end up paying for it. So at this point, I really think the best thing that the government can do is get out of the way and allow the private sector to get back in the driver's seat. If we do that, I think we have a chance for a sustained economic recovery.
Congressman, there were also reports this week, and I know you'll be able to comment on it because I believe they were made before your committee of the Joint Economic Committee by one of the president's chief economic advisors, Christina Romer, who says that basically she sees that the stimulus has had about as much of effect as it's going to have and that we're not going to see much in the months forward. Shed a little more light on that. What exactly did she say and what did you take from it?
Well, that is what she said. It was a very honest admission that to most of what the stimulus will achieve for growth has occurred in the second and third quarters, that really after mid-year of next year that there'll be little growth associated with the stimulus, which always raises the question of why will we keep spending if there isn't going to be a benefit from it, especially as it drives up our national debt, drives up the cost of our interest payments. Most economists, while they say, you know, the stimulus didn't contribute much, it didn't hurt, though, think that the big driver of all this has been the Federal Reserve Board. They injected huge amounts of money last September and early this year. It takes about 9 months or so for that to hit the economy. So I think the Federal Reserve Board is probably, I agree completely with their actions, drove a lot of this rather than stimulus. But again, looking forward, you know, the government cannot drive us out of this economy. It's got to come from the marketplace.
if the stimulus has done its job for the most part, where are the jobs going to come from?
Well, great question. Obviously, healthcare continues to create jobs. I think the way we can get manufacturing going again is to go where the customers are. And right now, we're struggling a bit as an economy, but you look at Asia, you look at South Central America, parts of Europe are recovering faster than us. Customers are starting to spend again. You know, being able to sell our American products and services all throughout the world and to these new customers, I think maybe one way to drag us out of the economy, out of this recession faster, because if we get a level playing field, just a chance to compete around the world, we win. And we create a ton of jobs. In fact, I think one out of, every six jobs in America is tied to trade, our ability to sell around the world. It's really critical we get a shot at those customers.
Congressman, let's shift to health care now. Earlier this week, Senator Harry Reid unveiled the Senate Democrats' version of health care reform. Today, in front of, I believe, the west front of the Capitol, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi rolled out what the House Democrats want to see. It's got a price tag of just under $900 billion, which was the president's target. She says it will provide, I believe, portability for the middle class, security for our seniors, and responsibility for our children. Not a lot of details, but there are 2,000 pages we can pour through here over the coming days. From what you know of it, what does it look like?
It is twice the size of the enormous bill that was rushed through the House Ways and Means Committee, the one that I serve on. It is, in fact, as expensive. All they did was do a sleight of hand and took out a $250 trillion payment for doctors and put it out and have said, well, we're just going to sort of create money to pay for that somewhere else. So it's just as expensive. It's more bureaucratic than the bill they had before. It's going to run major deficits going forward, and I can't find an independent source anywhere who believes this will drive down the cost of health care in America, which is what we want. So I think it's actually more the same in sort of evidence that this Congress is not listening at all to the American public. And they certainly didn't listen to all those people coming to town halls around this country, Republican and Democrat, who don't want a government-run system, especially now the Pelosi plan puts it into place.
Congressman, in terms of this debate now, it apparently won't be very long until this bill gets voted on. So how does this debate unfold? How do you pour through it and figure out how this is different and similar from H.R. 3200, which was in the hands of so many people at those town hall meetings?
Well, right now we are all pouring through it. My guess is this weekend that's what we're all going to be doing, a lot of homework. But the way I feel is the fight is now on. We now know what the bill is. We know to the greatest extent how it will affect so many families in so many states and what damage it will do long term. Now is the time not just for lawmakers to get engaged, but for those in America who think there is a better way to improve health care without the government running it. This is the time people are going to have to step forward, contacting their lawmaker, showing up at their office, emailing them, getting engaged, because if we want this new Congress to listen, people are going to have to show up and make sure they listen.
On the political front, some reports say Nancy Pelosi's got her 218. Others say she's not quite there yet. And then, of course, you have these blue dogs who don't like the public option, which is in the House bill. And you have a nearly four dozen blue dogs who want to make sure that there won't be taxpayer-funded abortions, who are willing to challenge the rule along with your party. So how smooth or how bumpy do you expect this road to be?
Even though the Speaker has a huge majority in the House, I believe we have a chance to kill this bill and send them back to the drawing board. I say that because it does spend so much. It does have abortion funding language in it. It doesn't require verification of those who are here illegally and won't lower costs. I think we have a chance, and it will be a tough fight to stop this bill.
Congressman, we'll let it go there. Thank you, sir, very much, as always, for your time and your insight. Texas Congressman Kevin Brady, member of the House Ways and Means Committee, top House Republican on the Joint Economic Committee of Congress. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.